Hello, welcome! Season 2, Confessions of an Aging Ingenue. I'm Jenny Tooley, your aging ingenue. I'm so excited that you're here today. Before we jump on into this episode, I wanted to let you know I have made a new treat for you. It's the Interactive Companion Guide for Season 1. Yes, Interactive Companion Guide, Confessions of an Aging Ingenue, Season 1. Jump on over to jennytooley.com to get more information. We're also going to be offering a mentorship program this year, so make sure that you are getting your monthly newsletter so that you can get all the insider tips and info. All right, what you've been waiting for? Here we go.
Hey, everybody. Jenny Tooley here. Woo, okay, so we're in the car. I'm on the old iPhone. Puppy's in the back seat. We just went for a hike. Why? Because puppy had a lot of energy this morning. It is early, y'all. I am not early, and this puppy is early. Rawr! So, we went on a hike, and as we were walking, she loves to go off trail and snuffle around in dead leaves, which has become an issue because a couple weeks ago, she pulled a dead rattlesnake out of the dead leaves, which freaked me out a little bit, especially since I thought it was living at first. Anyhow, we got that taken care of, but I'm not a great proponent of snuffling in dead leaves right now. So she was trying to pull off and really digging in to get into these dead leaves. She's at the very end of her leash. And I'm like, Nettie, come back. Come on, come on, come on, come on, puppy. The next thing I know, all of a sudden, I notice there is a box turtle sitting about 3 inches away from my left foot. And I jumped. I was like, holy crap. Not because I'm afraid of box turtles. I love them. They're really cool. But because it was so close and it had been sitting there the whole time and I hadn't noticed it. And of course I knew that the second Nettie figured out that there was a turtle right there, she was going to try to grab it, right? And shake it and do whatever you want to do with the turtle that is boxed up in its little shell. So I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. So, you know, it's time to turn around. Let's go. Puppy, I don't know that she ever noticed it. I think she might have right at the last minute, but it was too late. And that just got me to thinking about all the things that perhaps I don't see. Like, how many turtles did I walk by on that? She's got a lot to say about it. How many turtles did I walk by? Miss Nettie, chill out. On that trail before I saw that turtle. Right? Okay, so we had to relocate. Way too many things for Nettie to bark at where we were before. We'll see if we can get through this or not. And if we can't, we'll pick it up later because that's what we do, right? Life is not a perfect thing. It is an ever-evolving thing. So, okay, turtle. Turtle. Path. How many turtles did I walk by on that path? How many things are there that I don't notice in my life because I'm so hyper-focused in another direction or on another specific thing? What is sitting in front of me right now that could be a possible solution or something fun or something that I really do want to be focused on, but I can't see it because I'm hyper-focused on, well, what am I hyper-focused on? Right now I'm hyper-focused on finances. I'm hyper-focused on all the things that aren't going the way I want them to. Right? Okay. That's usually it. Or hyper-focused on things that feel like a threat and they probably actually aren't. A lot of times I think I'm hyper-focused on illusions. And being hyper-focused there means that I'm not paying attention to all the other beautiful, abundant things in my life. So this brought me to thinking about shiny object syndrome. Shiny object syndrome. SOS! SOS! I've got shiny object syndrome! I do. I've been really reevaluating how my brain works. And I've had a challenge with obsessive thinking throughout my lifetime. And it got a lot easier after I did the 12 steps in Al-Anon. I did the inventory and I shared it with another person, myself and my higher power. And I got to tell you, my head like cleared up. A lot of the things I've been holding on to and repeating over and over and over again, the stories, particularly the things I did wrong or how somebody else wronged me, those cleared out. And it left a lot more space. And it felt like at that time, oh, my brain is nice and quiet. Well, of course, there are layers to these things, and I started discovering that my brain was quiet. I still had a lot going on in there, and I was still very obsessive in my thinking. That is something I have worked with for decades now. I've used a lot of tools to try to manage it. Actually, I've been trying to get rid of it, honestly. I've used EFT, tapping. I've used yoga. I've used meditation. I have used all kinds of things I can't even think of right now. Affirmations, mantras. I have created a few things on my own. And right now, Nettie is obsessing about a fly. And all of these things have helped me get through this obsessive thinking and kind of the chaos of my brain. Eventually, though, however, when I hit menopause or perimenopause, what I had to do was get on prescription medication. And that, my friends, was not something I wanted to do, but I was incredibly surprised at what happened. I didn't get on prescription medication for that reason. I got on it because my anxiety levels were so high and I was having cascading panic attacks for days on end. I couldn't sleep because of that. So, you know, when you get that far down the road, life really doesn't work. And when the things that you're using, the things that I was using weren't working anymore, I needed to do something else. So prescription medication, hopped on that, and the wonderful side effect was a lot of my obsessive thinking went away again. So my head got even clearer, and I was so grateful for that. I had no idea how much I had been obsessing, and how much spinning there is in my head. So a few years go by, it's still, you know, really helping out. My mood is better. I've got a lot of more clear thinking. I'm not having the panic attacks. I'm not depressed. Like, I'm not feeling that mild depression all the time, which gives me the space to do other things and gives the other remedies that I use a better chance at working and being able to build a foundation using those. So, shiny object syndrome. I let in with that obsessive thinking because I think there is a lot of obsessive thinking attached to shiny object syndrome. And when I'm talking about that SOS, I'm talking about, I guess in today's terminology, it might be attention deficit disorder. You know, that just like, oh, there's that over there and there's that over there. Oh, look at that. Oh, I'm going to do that. And I think sometimes that's very natural. I think sometimes it can be, whatever it's called, a disorder of some kind that needs to be treated. Other times, though, for me, it's been a way to run or say stay so distracted that I can't possibly finish what I'm doing. So let me give you an example. I love to make products. If we're talking business stuff, products, I like creating stuff, right? That's what I do. Business world, it's products. In art world, it's art. It's just creating. I love making stuff. So in the business world, I'll make another product and another product and another product. And I'm supposed to be focusing on marketing and sales. And my business coach is going, that's a really cool idea. How about though, if we look at it as if the book that you've completed is enough, and we're going to focus on marketing and sales for that book. Why would we do that? One, to get the work out into the world, and two, to get money coming back to me, because the money has been going out and out and out for many years now, and it needs to come back to me. So creating new products is like a shiny object syndrome for me. Going on Zillow and looking at houses or land, huge shiny object. That is one of those things that is like, oh, Jenny, you are in shiny object syndrome right now. Sometimes that's what I need to do. Sometimes I just need to go and focus on something else, and that's fun to do. Other times that is just an obsessive thing to go and do that I don't need to be doing because I don't have the wherewithal to purchase property or houses right now, right? Okay. So that's a really good one. There are so many others. Shiny object syndrome, somebody else's problems. Those are great shiny objects for me. Oh my gosh. That used to be my addiction, is somebody else's problems. Let me fix somebody else's problems. So what do we do about shiny object syndrome? I mean, right now I'm sure your brain is going, oh, okay, I get it. I kind of see this. So the first thing that we do when we're faced with shiny object syndrome, because what it does is it leads us to burnout in so many areas of our lives. And it also leads to creative blocks and self-sabotage. We can't get moving forward on a project, whether it's a business project or an art project or just finishing renovating your house, right? So what can we do? The first thing that we do, we're going to apply the three A's. The three A's, I love them. Awareness, acceptance, and action. We're going to start with awareness. Awareness is being aware that we're in it. Oh yeah, hey, pause. I'm looking at Zillow. Okay. Why am I here? Why am I looking at Zillow? Why am I focused on this thing? Is it worth my time right now? Is it a distraction? Is it additive to my life? And if the answers are yes, then great. Keep looking at it. Keep doing it. Keep going there. Maybe it's not a distraction. Maybe it's just the next fork in your path. However, if the answers are, this doesn't feel right. It may not be an intellectual thing. It might be in your body. You're like, this doesn't feel right. Then we're going to go to acceptance. We have the awareness. This doesn't feel right. Okay. I think this is me going after another shiny object. It's a distraction. You know, maybe we write down and do a little journaling about why that's happening. What am I avoiding? Then we might ask ourselves the question of, is there some part of me that isn't being fed right now that needs to be fed? Like, is there an inner child that wants to go play? Is there a part of me that is impoverished right now because I'm so focused on business? Maybe my teenager needs some attention and she is getting pissed off. So just making these kinds of notes can be very helpful. The thing that we're going to want to do, I think it's culturally and just as we've been raised, I think it might also be, and it's a man and a woman thing, just to jump to action. We're going to fix it. And here's what I know about jumping to action and like missing the acceptance portion of this piece. If we jump to action, it's just another smattering of almost like shiny objects. It's like shiny object solutions are just coming into your head. Oh, well, if I do this, I could do that. I could do that. I could do that. And they start doing them. And are they doing anything to help? No. The solutions are not coming. They're actions, but they're not actually solving anything. That to me is when I'm banging my head against the wall. Like I've done everything I'm supposed to do or should do or whatever I do or whatever, little head banging against wall. Why isn't this working? There must be something wrong with me. And then we get to, there's something wrong with me. It always gets there. So let's go back and let's get into acceptance. How do you do that? For me, that is a real mystery. And I can't explain acceptance. All I can say is just take your time to say, okay, I accept I'm in this, and I accept this is why. And just pause. Take a pause. If you're a timer person, time it. Give yourself the time. I have felt that acceptance isn't an action. It's a state of being, and it just kind of soaks in to my body. I think it's almost like a somatic experience. Maybe it's a nervous system adjustment, but it's just like, oh, I'm accepting this for what it is. This is where I'm at. And the fascinating thing that happens is sometimes a solution will just easily pop up. It's not the attack solutions that are like, bing, 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 bing. It's like, oh, hey, this is what I need to do next. Or somebody will come up and say, hey, Jenny, I have this thing. I thought you might want to look at it. Or the puppy says, hey, we need to go for a walk. and then I can disengage from that obsession, that shiny object obsession, that swirly, swirly thing that's taking me out of my focus. And I can slowly take step by step to get back to the focus where I wanted to be or what I needed to be doing. Now, I might have needed to go roller skating first because that's what my teenager wanted to do. And that's totally fine. I might have needed to just go take a freaking nap. And then I wake up and my brain's like, oh, I feel so much better. But just taking those moments, be aware, accept where you're at, no judgment, puppy's yawning, and then coming back, letting the action step arise and taking it one step back at a time. So, there you have it, shiny object syndrome. I'm going to put a guided meditation together about this. And you can find it. Puppy is now sniffing my ear. You can find it on my website at www.jennytooley.com. And that is all. I hope you're having a great week. And oh my gosh, companion guide is coming out. If you want one, any of you want it signed, I'm signing them. I have a limited number of copies coming to my home to sign and then to send straight out to you. So go ahead and order yours now. Get on it. And I'll talk to you soon. Love ya.
Thank you so much for listening today. I'm so glad to have you with me. Ooh. If something resonated with you, I sure hope that you'll take that and expand on it in your own life. Maybe you can apply it to something that's going on with you right now. If you really want to get in on the good magic, I'd head over to jennytooley.com and grab up an interactive companion guide for season one and check out the mentorship program because that's where the magic's gonna happen. All right, subscribe, join, yay, love you.